This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We have Mona Illebrand back, and we've been talking about beneficial live active bacteria on the farm. So welcome back, Mona.
Thanks.
Can you tell us a little bit about, you were just telling us about your horses, but tell us how you come about getting your horses and how that's helped you with some of your healing and recovery.
Okay, so that goes back a long, long ways. I was born with this huge, big love affair for horses. And as a toddler, my parents couldn't keep me home. I would toddle off to wherever the closest horses were. And so eventually they bought me a horse to keep me at home. Mm-hmm. And so it just grew from there. I slept in the barn, and the minute my mom would leave for work, I'd call and the horses would be in the house and they'd lay down by the couch and I would sit there and do my homework. And I had it bad. I always bit really bad with that. And so when I had my first accident in 1998 and I sustained my moderate traumatic brain injury, I had a lot of difficulty with balance and coordination and those kinds of things. And my horses that I had at the time were in their early 30s. And, you know, I tried riding after, and it was really, really, really difficult. So much so to maybe go 100 feet, I'd be wringing wet with sweat, and it was the hardest work I've ever had to do. And the disappointment was so great that, you know, even when the mare that I had, she would reach her head around and grab my pant leg and drag me back on that way and then reach around and drag me back because I couldn't keep my balance. I was falling all over, and she was giving me dirty looks. And so I didn't have the courage to say, oh, I can't do this. So I made the big excuse, oh, well, you know, my horses are old. It's time just to move on to a different chapter of my life, blah, blah, blah. All the things people do when they just can't suck it up somehow and muster the gumption to do whatever it is they need to do. And so then, out of the blue, the fellow that I got my very first horse from when I was a little kid showed up on my doorstep, and he was putting his house in order, and he wanted a home, a forever home for his horse. And he said that, you know, he looked for me and looked for me because he knew that if I gave him my word that it would be true. So I thought, well, the horse has to be old, so okay, I said yes. And then this young thing arrived that was 2 years old that had just been gelded, and I was like, oh my. And so I kept telling myself that he can just be a lawn ornament. He can just, you know. But eventually I thought, I can't do this to that horse. He needs to have a life, and he needs to have a good life. And so that forced me to get outside of my lack of get up and go or courage or determination or whatever it is. And I started trying to figure out how I could break him and train him and make him into somebody that would be really safe for me, because, of course, I can't afford to fall off and I need all of these special requirements, blah, blah. And so the horse's name is Gemini, and he truly is a Gemini. He is a really kind guy one minute, and he's a real dink the other. And so it stretched me in all sorts of ways, and because of him, I pushed myself, and I got back to where I am today, and you know, I'm riding, and I'm doing all sorts of things. I'm working with other horses that have problems, something that I've always been really, really good at. And so in so many ways, I got my love affair back.
Wow. And you're feeding him live active bacteria as well as yourself.
You bet.
Okay. On your website, you also have some information that's very interesting about bee colonies and keeping bee colonies healthy with live active bacteria. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So now, I don't personally have any bee colonies, but Grant Hicks, and he's a commercial beekeeper, and he's president of the Alberta Beekeepers Association. He has over 8,000 hives, and he's been using the Vitabiosa in his hives, and he's had amazing results. And so the whole reason the Biosa is great for the bees is because, you know, the colony collapse disorder that everybody's been talking about, well, they can't really pinpoint what causes it. They, of course, they know that there's the varroa mite and the Nosema fungi, but there's also the fact that the bees aren't getting the same nutrition that they used to get, and there's herbicide pollutants and pesticides, and a whole list goes on. So what they've started to do now is to try to eliminate some of the stress that all of these things cause. And so the bacteria does a couple of things. Same thing as for us. It allows the bees to acquire different nutrients because the bacteria help break it down. The bacteria also, when you use it in their hives and around their hives in the place of smoke, then it helps. Because inside their colony, the mites and that all have periods when they're soft-bodied. So the bacteria will actually start to eat them. So overall, it's kind of a big thing. So the Biosa isn't just a magic quick cure, but it will improve the whole health of your hives, and something that if you continually practice, your bees will face less stress, they'll be healthier, and they'll be able to deal with the different things that come around and affect them.
And how do the bees actually use it? Do they just put it out in saucers and they go to it, or how do they actually use it on the bees?
So you can use it in your hive in the place of smoke. So when you want to work on your trays and stuff for your honey and that, you can use a 50% solution. Mm-hmm. So that's half VB and half water in a place of smoke. And so you can just mist that over the combs and the bees. Or you can do that. You can, in the spring, you can treat all of the hive with a 50% mixture. In the summer, you can clean your pegs regularly and spray the landing boards with a 10% solution of Vitabiosa. That way they're tracking it into their hive all the time. And so then when they're feeding the bees, they can mix the bacteria directly in with their sugar water solution that they put in there to feed the bees over the winter.
Does it make a difference to their creating honey?
In some ways it does, but I'm not sure if there's a direct correlation, because you could say it's the Biosa, or you could say the bees produce better honey or more honey because they're healthier.
But it definitely keeps the funguses and bad bacteria in check.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And so what Grant noticed, his biggest thing that he noticed was that when you open the colonies up after the winter, you have a lot of, there's death in there, and everything's kind of at a standstill. So when his bees had the bacteria over the winter and he opened them up in the spring, the bees were in all different parts of life cycles, and the death was next to nothing compared to what it had been. So it was like through the whole winter, those bees kept active and there was things happening and changing, and there was all different stages of life form come spring. And so that's a pretty powerful thing for your hive.
Fascinating. And how would you use the live active bacteria in creating compost and encouraging healthy soil for plants?
Okay, so that again is you can spray it on your plants foliarly. And so if I was going to be eating my lettuce, and I was growing lettuce, for example, besides inoculating my soil, I would spray it on the lettuce foliarly, because then the little bacteria go inside the plant. And so then when you harvest it, that plant, meaning the lettuce at this point, is going to have a way longer shelf life. And so that might mean, as a consumer, the products that I'm picking from my garden are going to stay fresh picked looking for probably maybe 5 or 6 days longer than what they would have had I not sprayed it foliarly on the plant. And when you apply it to the soil, now that allows the plant to absorb every bit of nutrient that is in your soil. So the bacteria themselves aren't what provide the nutrient. It's what the bacteria is biodigesting, and then the plants access that off the bacteria. And it's really important to understand that every plant classification has their own bacterial signature. So when our scientists and stuff are digging up soil from years and years ago, by doing an analysis of the bacteria that were present at that time, they can predict fairly accurately what plant life actually grew there. And so that's why, in a big picture, bacteria is so important to our soil. And that's why, you know, one of my things is, and it's not that I'm against logging, but when they log a mixed forest and then they plant back pine, they're destroying the bacterial signature. And so all of the bacteria that were required so that, you know, aspens could grow there and your spruce and your fir can no longer exist once the pine has taken, because now the pine has its own signature, and that's not the same for the fir and spruce and
right. Yeah. Mona, you have so much information on your website, and it just so much encouragement for keeping our planet healthy and well. Can you tell people how to find your website?
Okay, so if you go to www.burkanafarm.ca, and so that, of course, is spelt B as in a boy, E as in Edward, R as in Robert, K, A, and then N as in Nancy, A, and then farm, F-A-R-M, .ca. I also have a Burkana Farm Facebook page, so you can go there as well.
Okay, thanks so much for being on the radio show today, Mona.
Thank you, Kathy.
Okay, talk to you soon. Bye-bye.